Thank you for coming this afternoon. We're back on the record. It's running a little late. We had a power outage. It's 2:05, the 4th of May, 2007. We're continuing on with today's work. On the agenda this afternoon is two bills. There is no intent to take any action on either one of them. The first bill we're going to hear is Senate Bill 168, which is a passenger vessel tax credit. Then when we finish with that, we'll take a brief at ease while we pass out Senate Bill 53, capital budget. The recess will be brief, or maybe not so brief. Anyway. With that, I'd like to call Mr. Miles Baker, Senate Finance Committee staff, forward to the finance table to present SB 168 and walk through the issues with the bill. Mr. Baker, if you could put your name and who you represent on the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Miles Baker, staff to Co-Chair Stedman. SB 168, which was introduced by the Finance Committee, it's a pretty short bill, Mr. Chairman, that basically would allow, there was a voter initiative in 2007 that established a $50 head tax that was part of the cruise ship initiative. There were other things involved, as the members know, in that initiative, but one of the aspects of it was a $50 passenger excise tax. $4 of that goes to the Ocean Ranger program. $46, the remainder, comes back to the state. 25% of that is supposed to be used for a regional impact fund, regional cruise ship impact fund. There has been some discussion in the legislature this year about issues around that and what it can be used for, what the federal law states, which are kind of discussions for a separate day. What this bill really deals with is that the balance of the money, if you took the 25% of the 46, the balance is $35. The initiative intended that $5 per head go to the first five ports of call. Two of the most visited ports of call currently are Juneau and Ketchikan. Both of those communities already over the last several years and working with the cruise companies have already passed local municipal head taxes, and in keeping with the federal laws on the use of that money, most of that money is used as required to improve the ports and provide better service to the passengers of those vessels. The initiative, the way it was passed, is that any community that already has a head tax in place would not be eligible for the $5 that would be raised in the $50 the head tax statewide. So what this bill would do, Mr. Chairman, is keep the head tax at $50 per passenger, but recognize that some of the ports of call, currently it's only two, if they do raise a local head tax, it would allow them to basically recoup out of that $50. So it's written as a credit because the mechanics of the way this works is if you go to the cruise company and buy a ticket to come to Alaska and you pay $1,000, when you go to check out, if you were doing this online, for example, you go to check out, it adds to the bottom of that $1,000 ticket the various taxes, the $4 for the Ocean Ranger, the $46 to the state. Well, if your ticket sends you to Juneau or Ketchikan, it's currently adding an additional amount of money, a total of $11, to the ticket price. It's actually $15, I'm sorry, because it's an $8 tax in Juneau currently and a $7 tax in Ketchikan. So the passenger is really paying $65 to come to Alaska now, not 50. It's an extra $65. So the way this credit would work is that those communities that have a local tax would continue to get it the way they do. The cruise companies collect the money, rebate it back to the municipalities, and they would just subtract then that amount out of the $50 balance, or in this case, the $35 balance after the other two deductions are made, so that the passenger is only paying $50, but the impacted communities are allowed to still recoup the money. And I think that's basically it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Do we have any preliminary questions for Mr. Baker? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is that correct, if I understand it, then if you had five, the first five communities all had a $10 tax, would that completely wipe out the $50, or am I figuring that incorrectly, if it's a credit against it?
If the first five communities, well, if I could, the other issue here, theoretically, through the chair, that's correct, Senator Thomas. The reality is that there aren't five ports of call in Alaska. That on average it's about 3.4 to be exact. So, but the way the bill is written, you could raise up to $10. So theoretically, and that's where the $10 came from, because if 3.4 communities raised $10, it'd be $34, which is the balance of what's left of the $35. So, but you're correct. If in the future ships start going to more than 3.4 ports, then we would have a situation where we'd have to figure out where that money comes from. The rebate would have to change at some point, or something in the future would have to be contemplated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Senator Elton.
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair, thanks. And thanks, Mr. Baker, for your presentation. I'm assuming port of call is defined someplace else in statute. And port of call would be those places where the ship either anchors or ties up, would not be a destination, for example, like Glacier Bay.
Through the chair, I don't know. I can't answer that question, Senator. I'm not sure if it's defined, and I don't know the definition.
Okay. Thanks,
I can certainly find that out for you.
Yes, if you could do that and then get it back to the committee members. Any other preliminary questions for Mr. Baker on the bill? Okay, seeing none. With that, I'd like to go ahead and call up Mr. Jeff Bush. Is he in the audience? Front row. Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You can identify yourself and who you represent for the record and speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Bush. I'm here as an assembly member for the city of Juneau, and I'm here on behalf of the mayor, who is unfortunately not able to be here today because he is hosting the Chief Justice Roberts up in Fairbanks at the Bar Convention today. I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 168. Legislation that would provide a credit for certain municipal passenger fees against the statewide excise passenger tax established by the 2006 primary election ballot measure 2. The city of Juneau supports the purpose that the sponsors sought to achieve in promoting the passenger tax, that is, having users contribute to the infrastructure necessary to serve the communities they visit by cruise ship. However, I believe there's a fundamental flaw in that in the initiative that frustrates the purpose, and that Senate Bill 168 is designed to cure. And that flaw is the creation of a vast pool of money at the state that cannot be expended constitutionally. You've heard from the previous speaker on how the initiative currently works, so I won't review that. The problems that exist with the initiative are twofold. is a constitutional problem and also a practical problem. Federal law limits the kinds of taxes or fees that may be imposed on vessels in interstate commerce through the Tonnage Clause, Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, which prohibits any taxes or fees on vessels except those directly related to services provided to those vessels. 33 U.S.C. Section 5, a recent federal enactment based upon the Tonnage Clause, has been interpreted to mean to be a clarification of the Tonnage Clause of the Constitution. And that section authorizes the levy of, quote, reasonable fees charged on a fair and equitable basis that A, are used solely to pay the cost of a service to the vessel, B, enhance the safety and efficiency of interstate and foreign commerce, and C, do not impose more than a small burden on interstate or foreign commerce. The sponsors of the initiative were aware of these restrictions and tried to meet the high burden set by the federal law in the initiative, and by putting language in the initiative that says that the tax may be used, quote, in a manner calculated to improve port and harbor facilities and other services to properly provide for vessel or watercraft visits and to enhance the safety and efficiency of interstate and foreign commerce, unquote. But this language is of little import when you try to apply it to the Regional Impact Fund, which is the 25% portion of the tax. That's because that fund is available only to be used in ports that are not today ports of call. And that is, in other words, ports that are not visited by the cruise ships at all. So applying the federal statute, what conceivable service to a vessel should be recovered by these ports and on what basis? Similarly, what state-owned port, harbor facilities, or other service is being directly rendered that would permit these funds to be expended? That's for the rest of the funds. I suggest that few expenditures could meet the federal test. Regarding the practical problems, first, there's little incentive for major ports of call to take part in the state program. Rather than maintain or establish their own passenger fees, municipalities right now may set higher or lower fees to meet whatever local infrastructure needs they have without reliance on the state program. Thus, Juneau, as I'm sure most of you know, currently imposes two separate fees that total $8, while Ketchikan imposes a $7 per passenger fee. Municipal ports electing to receive the $5 as passed in the initiative per passenger instead of imposing their own fee would be required to come to the legislature each year and seek an appropriation for that purpose. It leaves municipalities dependent on the legislative process and having port monies traded for other capital projects. In addition, reliance on annual appropriations to bond for projects is probably impossible. As recognized by the Department of Revenue in the fiscal note on this bill, passage of this legislation is necessary to remove the disincentive for communities to pass local passenger tax ordinances. There's a disincentive because right now there's the incentive, if a local community other than Juneau and Ketchikan attempts to pass a local tax initiative on the cruise industry, that's an added tax burden under the current situation to the cruise industry, and there's very strong political pressure placed on those communities. And so the ports do not have the incentive to create local taxes, and the end result is that they don't have funds available to do what the initiative was purportedly meant to do.
Mr. Bush, could I get you to wrap up?
Sure, please. I'm very brief, sorry. Of the $36 million, if we assume $46 million, a million passengers, $46 million brought in under the tax in a year, $36 million, 25% is taken off the fund off the top for the region fund. Approximately, at most, $10 million, probably less, would go to local communities. And that leaves something like $24, $25 million still in the state fund that can't be expended because it can't send it to the regional ports under the regional ports that are ports of call, and it can't send it to the ports that have their own passenger fees, Juneau and Ketchikan. So there's this money that the state is going to have, and it won't be able to spend it. under federal law. To summarize, allowing the tax credit clearly benefits the port communities for the reasons I've outlined. At the same time, it will reduce the total amount of passenger tax proceeds received by the state. There's no question the state will receive less. However, that money can't be spent. The reduction should not raise major policy objections because of the severe legal restrictions on the ways that these tax proceeds may be spent right now. And thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. With that, we'll go to Mr. Philip Oates from Seward. If you could please identify yourself and who you represent, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Philip Oates, the new city manager for the city of Seward. I'd just like to say to all of the committee that the city of Seward is strongly supportive of Senate Bill 168. With this bill, Seward will have the funds to improve port infrastructure, compete on the world market with ports around the world that are making significant improvements while fully complying with the constitutional provisions and federal statutes, and will be able to do so without increasing the burden on cruise ship passengers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your brief testimony. And I was watching the clock to make sure the clock didn't get away and squeeze you out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been here for 3 days in the job, and I've got lots to learn.
Okay, thank you. With that, I'd like to have Mr. Chip Thoma. I'll keep pronouncing it. I'll get it right. If you could please state your name and who you represent, and go ahead and speak to the record, please, or to the bill.
For the record, my name is Chip Thoma. I represent myself today. I'm a voter and a strong supporter of the Cruise Ship Initiative, which was passed in October of 2006. I've got a prepared statement for the committee, if I can get the staff. It's been approved. If I can distribute this to the members, it's a packet right here.
We'll have the...
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Folks, pick it up. We'll get it later.
If I may, a couple of comments on 168. It would have a negative impact on the finances of the state of Alaska. Importantly, this bill would not help municipalities cope with hosting the 1 million cruise passengers that come to Alaska each year in this compressed five-month season. This credit that a cruise passenger should receive under SB 168 will never reach that Alaska ship passenger, as there are no requirements in 168 to return these fees to the passengers. In reality, this is a tax rebate program that returns state revenues directly to the cruise companies. And for those reasons, I oppose the bill. Also, SB 168 is not good public policy. It encourages the competition between Alaska port towns to solicit industry favor on ship taxes, rather than making sound community-based decisions on expensive improvements to waterfronts. Local waterfront activities are the heart and soul of each coastal town, and the decision should be made without constant pressure over summer passenger fees. This new cruise law ends that industry practice of comparing and selecting communities based on their local tax climate. It no longer makes a bit of difference whether a community charges locally, whether they go into the state system. Everyone is going to benefit from this bill, this cruise bill that got passed. Instead, this cruise law is an opt-in revenue sharing program of choice for local municipalities. In the years ahead, there will be many new cruise ports in the state that will benefit, such as Cordova, Valdez, and Kodiak, because cruise demand and the market are certainly there. Other cruise ports that can benefit now from the initiative are those that have private cruise docks, such as Skagway, Whittier, and Hoonah. In these latter port towns, dock owners charge a private passenger fee for using their properties. New state revenues would allow municipalities with cruise ports but without local passenger fees to make extensive capital improvements to adjacent city docks, harbors, and lands used by passengers when they visit. This is a great benefit to the industry, all cruise passengers, and the local ports. As this initiative was written, each community has the choice when to opt in or opt out. They can choose to have the state collect and distribute the cruise funds, or to charge and bond for municipal cruise docks and improvements with local passenger fees, such as now occurs in Ketchikan and Juneau. Juneau is the best example of a port community that has legally defined the uses of cruise passenger fees as contained in the 2002 Maritime Security Act. This federal law says that reasonable passenger fees can be spent on cruise docks and adjacent access areas for the safe and efficient movement of passengers and cargo. And I've included in your packets The opinions issued by Juneau Borough Attorney Corso in 2003 and by Mr. Hartle in 2005, and that's attached. 81,000 Alaskans voted correctly on the cruise initiative, and they knew what they were voting for. Clean cruise ships verified by Ocean Rangers, consumer disclosure for cruise passengers, and a fair state taxes to be spent on cruise infrastructure. The cruise lines in Alaska are a multi-billion dollar industry that overwhelms coastal towns throughout the state each summer. It is time the state has a fair tax regime that provides new funds for the huge cruise infrastructure costs needed in the years ahead. 3 decades ago, Governor Jay Hammond defined the ground rules for industries doing business in Alaska. Industry pays its own way without subsidy. Industry does not pollute, and all industries pay a fair share in state taxes. The ink was not even dry on the initiative results before an all-out repeal effort ensued on every section of the 2006 initiative. Passage of SB 168 would be a repeal of the cruise initiative, and according to the AG's opinion of February 6, such a repeal would be found unconstitutional in 2007 and in 2008. I urge you to hold SB 168 in committee this interim, review the collection and application of state cruise taxes by the Department of Revenue during the summer cruise season. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Senator Elton, question?
Yeah, thanks. And Chip, thanks for your testimony. And you may not be able to answer this, and so I'm going to ask it out loud, and maybe subsequent people that come forward can answer it. I mean, I'm having a difficult time with the notion, and as you suggested, that it's a rebate to the company. How are head taxes collected? Are they an addendum to the passenger fee that would then be, I mean, if for example, the net effect is a tax that is applied against an individual passenger, I mean, how would it get rebated to the company and not to the passenger?
Each ticket, as I understand it, that's purchased on a cruise line has a port fees category. Whatever that port fee figure is, that can be raised up to $80. That would certainly cover everything in Alaska that would be experienced by the $50 fee for Ocean Rangers and also by the local communities, Juneau and Ketchikan. So yes, $65 theoretically could be taxed to each passenger, and that's if those ships go to both Juneau and Ketchikan. Otherwise, it's a $50 fee. So that goes on their port fees, that's part of their ticket. And to think that the companies are going to write out a million checks for $15 each and send them off to those passengers is ludicrous. It just is not going to happen.
I guess the assumption that I have is that the ticket would then reflect, not reflect $65, but would reflect $50. And so it would not be applied. I mean, the rebate wouldn't be going to the cruise line. It would be a capped fee to the individual passenger.
Well, I mean, you're setting policy for the cruise lines, and I don't think they're going to agree to that. They charge whatever port fee they feel like, and it might be 65, it might be 85, but you don't have any control over that. If you want to put that in law that they can only charge a port fee on a ticket that's equal to $50, well, then sure, but that's not in the bill.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair. And people that come up after Mr. Toma might want to address the question, too. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Toma.
Thank you, Mr. Stebbins.
Thank you, sir.
John Bales from the Department of Revenue.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, Joan.
For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the excise tax manager with the Department of Revenue, which encompasses the new commercial passenger vessel excise tax as well. One of the things I just wanted to point out to the committee and make sure that there isn't any confusion on this is that in order for this credit to work, the community itself would have to adopt its own marine passenger tax or head tax, and then the passenger themselves will get a credit for that tax if they visited that port of call. Contrary to what the gentleman from Juneau said, I mean, there are several communities, especially the smaller communities, that are actually very excited that they will be able to participate and receive some funds from the cruise ship tax initiative that just went into place. So, but The Department of Revenue actually does not support this bill, and one of the concerns that we have is that there are different funds that are established by this initiative that have been discussed, the Cruise Ship Impact Fund, and then there are also a remaining amount of money that could be used by the state for cruise ship related projects. And it's interesting that someone from the city of Juneau has opposed this bill, because if this initiative passes, the amount of money that the state has to use for other projects could potentially be decimated, and cruise ship related projects in areas like Juneau, the state could appropriate money for those projects. I have here in front of me a list of projects identified by the Department of Transportation in several portside communities that are cruise ship related. And they are things like constructing sidewalks, road expansion, things like that are directly attributable to the cruise ship industry and the tourists that are there, constructing bike paths for if you do those land tours and rent a bike for the day and things like that. If this legislation passes, the state will have no money to support those types of projects. So it would affect all the communities. So as I said, the Department of Revenue doesn't support this legislation. The people of the state of Alaska voted on this initiative with the intent that there would be separate pots of money for different projects across the state for cruise ship related tourism impact. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bales, for your testimony. With that, I'd like to ask Mayor Bob Weinstein to come forward, please. Mr. Weinstein, if you can identify yourself and who you represent. I think I've seen you before someplace.
I will do that. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Bob Weinstein. I'm mayor of the city of Ketchikan, and I'm here to speak in support of SB 168. I view the bill as legislation that, by correcting flaws in the 2006 cruise ship ballot measure, will assure that each passenger is assessed $50 as intended by the voters, and importantly, that the funds are expended in a manner consistent with federal law by actually, rather than theoretically, providing infrastructure and services directly related to the visits of cruise vessels in port communities. Just want to spend a minute reviewing my background. I've been mayor of Ketchikan since 1997. I was a council member for 6 years previous to that. My elected service in the community has coincided with the demise of the timber industry in our community, as well as with the growth of the cruise industry in the community. We lost our largest employer in 1997. Fortunately, the tourism sector has been improving since that time, so that our economy has partially recovered in the past 10 years. However, we still have a long ways to go. Port communities that are visited and impacted by cruise vessels need to make investments to improve port facilities. The city of Ketchikan owns and operates substantial port facilities which provide services to cruise ships, their passengers, and their crews. 6 years ago, the city initiated a long-term port facility development plan. The plan envisions, among other things, making improvements to existing facilities so that we can accommodate the largest known vessels likely to be in the Alaska touring trade, while also addressing impacts such as vehicle and pedestrian congestion that result from visits by cruise ships. As an aside, I think the city of Ketchikan is quite capable, if we have the funding, of addressing those needs. We do not need the Department of Transportation to do that for us. As part of that effort, the city received legal advice regarding federal, constitutional, and statutory restrictions on the use of marine passenger fees. And our advice was what you've already heard. The restrictions clearly require a connection between a marine passenger fee and a service a rail service to the vessel, passengers, and or crew. Ketchikan currently has a $40 million port upgrade project to improve some of our facilities to better provide for the safety of crews, tourists, and to alleviate dangerous pedestrian and vehicular crowding that occurs when vessels are in port. Our $7 passenger fee is being used to pay the debt service. As you've heard, Juneau and other ports are contemplating similar improvements and need recurring revenues to pay for those improvements, and I'd like to touch on that for a second. The financing for the city's port project was arranged through the Alaska Bond Bank. We do not believe that their approval would have been forthcoming if, instead of a reasonably guaranteed revenue stream, we had to rely on annual appropriations from the legislature. The Bond Bank's financial advisor recently told us that under any circumstances he could imagine, the pledge of a borrower to the Bond Bank secured from ongoing revenues, like a local marine passenger fee actually assessed by a port, is superior to a pledge that is subject to annual appropriation. And further, the executive director of the Bond Bank essentially agreed with that opinion. Allowing the collection of taxes at the local level provides a surety of a revenue stream that by the state's constitution, the state cannot, and in sum on that issue, passage of this bill will facilitate bonding to permit capital investment in support of the infrastructure necessary in port communities. I'd like to spend a minute also to walk through how the passenger tax actually works under the initiative. As you've heard, each passenger on a cruise vessel will be assessed $50. Four of that goes to an Ocean Ranger program. And I believe in your packets you may have this handout.
Always tied to some.
That leaves $46 per passenger to be used for port facilities and other services to vessels, of which, as you've heard already, 25%, or about $11, is designated for a so-called regional impact fund, which upon close examination is in essence designed to provide funds to communities which are not in fact ports of call and which in fact provide little if any services to ships, while at the same time stating that the funds must be used to provide services and infrastructure directly related to the visits of cruise ships. As you've also heard, each of the first five ports of call for each vessel is entitled to receive $5 per passenger, if appropriated by the legislature, to improve port facilities and to provide other services to cruise vessels. In theory, then, $25 of the $35 left over after the $4 deduction, after the regional impact fund deduction, would be paid to local ports at which the vessels dock. In reality, however, few vessels visit five ports. The average is only 3.4 ports of call. So based on real ship schedules, the maximum amount that would actually go to municipal ports of call, in theory, is only $17. As you've also heard, there's more. The ballot measure denies funds to any community which assesses its own port fees. In practice, this means that Ketchikan and Juneau, which are the two most visited and the two most impacted ports of call, would receive nothing from the $46 tax because they have respectively local fees of $7 and $8. Because these two ports are visited by nearly every cruise ship coming to Alaska, on average, only $7 of the $35 would be available to support local ports of call at the $5 per visit rate, leaving the remaining $28 stranded, unavailable for distribution to ports, which actually render services to cruise vessels. You know, and I've detailed that on this handout. I also want to note that the proposed bill does not just benefit large port communities like Ketchikan and Juneau. It applies to all ports. Smaller port communities like Petersburg, Puna, Kodiak, and Valdez would proportionally benefit depending upon the visits of cruise vessels to those communities and local decisions about whether or not to impose passenger fees. The data clearly shows that based upon the real schedules of cruise vessels, the $50 collected should be adequate for all port communities.
Mr. Weinstein, can I get you to wrap up?
I will. If I have one more minute. Okay. In my opinion, the initiative does not assist port communities as intended, as it does not provide the funding to come close to meet the needs of affected communities. In closing, the legal advice received consistently at the state and local levels states that federal law requires that marine passenger fees are to be spent on services related to the vessels, passengers, and crew. That was acknowledged, at least indirectly, throughout the initiative. We believe that the best way of complying with federal requirements, meeting the requirements of any lender willing to finance port projects, and making realistic use of the monies that will accrue in the passenger tax account, while still assuring that each passenger is assessed $50 as intended by the voters, is to assure that marine passenger fees flow to local communities so that we can improve our port infrastructure and compete on the world market with other ports that are making investments. I believe that Senate Bill 168 will accomplish those goals. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Weinstein. Okay. Next, I'd like to bring up Mr. Tom Dow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Dow. I'm the Vice President of Public Affairs for Carnival Corporation, which is the parent of Princess and Holland America, as well as Carnival Cruise Lines. And I'm basically here to answer questions. A couple of issues were raised that I think I could address. I would
like you to address the mechanics of the collection, if you could.
Okay, great. Under law, we separately itemize government fees and taxes as a separate charge that's identified on each cruise fare. We have had in place an agreement that we consider to be a national agreement, although it was made with the state of Florida, but it applies to all cruises sold in the state of Florida, which is all cruises, because we offer Alaska cruises for sale there as well. It's been in place for 10 years. It says we will rebate everything we collect under these government taxes and fees to the government that's charging them, so we don't keep anything. There's no margin in it. We regularly credit port fees and taxes. We have a very handy way of doing it. We don't write out a million checks. Passengers are on board, and it happens on occasion for any number of reasons where we miss a port. It could be because of weather, it could be a mechanical situation, it could be because we had a medical emergency on board and we had to divert to a separate port. It's a fairly routine occurrence, actually, in our business. When we do it, the same day we do it, we credit to the passenger's folio on board the ship the amount of the port fee for that day. So we already have a mechanism in place. It's well established. It's widely known within the industry. Travel agents and so on are well aware of this. It's not a problem. We would certainly have no objection if the legislature felt it was necessary to guarantee that we weren't going to keep the money from these deductions to have some provision in this amendment that said that that any amounts that were credited had to be rebated to the passengers. And in fact, the only time this would apply would be this year, because we would adjust the taxes and fees for next year. Just as we've had to do this year, as a matter of fact, because the brochures were out in the marketplace, the product was already in the marketplace in May and June of last year for Alaska season in 07, months ahead of the August primary election. So we've had to go back to passengers and say, we're gonna have to charge you an extra $50. We'll add it to your bill when we get final payment for you before you make the cruise, and that's what we're doing now.
Okay, thank you. Okay. With that, we're going to go ahead and set this bill aside.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a brief at ease, and we'll have our next bill up. We're at ease. Finance Committee back to order. We were going to take a brief at ease here in a minute, and we're going to pass out because I think the level of noise in the room is going to be a little too high. We're going to pass out Senate Bill 53, which is the capital budget. We are not going to take action on this bill tonight. We'll be having some public testimony tomorrow. We'll bring the bill up first part of the week. That we're going to go to a brief at ease while we set the bill in the back, and then I'll have my staff go through parts of it. Brief at ease. Order. We have distributed Senate Bill 53, and it's been a few weeks since we've had this bill on table and heard testimony from it, but we do have a new CS and Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 53, version L by Kane, dated 5407, as our working document.
Thank you. We have a motion. Seeing no objection, we have adopted version L as our working document, and I will ask at this time Mr. Fred Fisher come forward. Mr. Fisher, if you could introduce yourself and who you work for, and go ahead and give us some highlights of the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Fred Fisher. I'm finance aide to Senator Stedman. I've been coordinating the production of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 53, the governor's capital budget request. As the members may recall, the bill started out back in December as a bare bones capital budget request that was restricted to general fund appropriations totaling about $81 million that matched federal and other funds. Since that time, we've received amendments from the governor's office requesting an additional $156 million in general funds, $71.2 million in federal funds, and $108 million in other funds. Sections 1 through 6 of the bill contain capital appropriations and grants, a total of $237.4 million in general funds for governor's projects, including both FY07 and FY08 items. $198.2 million in general funds for legislative priority projects, for a total of $435.6 million total general fund capital expenditures, and a total of $1,495,600,000 in total capital expenditures. Mr. Chairman, because this bill is expected to be the last appropriation measure to originate in Senate Finance Committee this session, We've also included in the bill the remaining FY07 supplemental appropriations and some FY08 operating appropriations. Sections 7 through 9 of the bill are FY08 operating appropriations for the monetary terms of collective bargaining agreements reached with the Labor, Trades, and Crafts Union and the Teachers Education Association of Mount Edgecombe. Those items total $3.8 million in general funds and a total of about $6.7 million. Sections 10 through 24 of the bill are for the remaining FY07 supplemental appropriations requested by the executive branch agencies. Those items total $55.9 million in general funds and total of $95.4 million. Sections 25 through 31 of the bill are language sections associated with capital projects. Sections 32 through 47 and 49 are all reappropriation items. Section 48 contains appropriations from the Rail Belt Energy Fund, totaling about $75 million. And sections 50 and 51 of the bill appropriate any remaining FY07 general fund surplus to savings accounts, the Constitutional Reserve and the AHFC subcorporation. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my outline of the contents of the committee substitute, and I'd be happy to try to address any questions that the members may have.
The only question has been patched in by telephone, so we're going to end the meeting here, give everybody time to read through the bill. We'll bring it up at the beginning of next week, early in the week, is the intent here. Target date is Monday. Tomorrow, there will be no finance in the morning, but there will be finance at 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. We're going to take up Senate Bill 72, Community Revenue Sharing. And then we're going to take public testimony, and we're going to limit it to no more than 2 or 3 minutes, depending on the amount of call volume. If we have heavy call volume, I'll cut it down to 2. Lighter call volume, we can stretch that a little bit. But that'll be the, again, public testimony on Senate Bill 53. Again, that starts at 1:30 tomorrow. With that, meeting adjourned. See you tomorrow.